Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 99, the last of the double digits. We are fast approaching episode 100, and thanks again for joining us this week. As a reminder, episode 100 is going to be recorded on Sunday, June 10th, probably around 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're welcome to join us in that live show. You can join us in the Discord chat server, our setup chat room. You will have an opportunity to come on and say hello on the show if you'd like to. Hopefully, we'll have a special guest with us on that show. I'm really excited to talk about that and sort of have a celebration for episode 100. Once again, we are giving away a free MRP Tech Podcast t-shirt. All you need to do to sign up is go to mrptechreviews.com and click on the contest button, or just go to mrptechreviews.com/contact and give me an idea for a show topic. And what I will do is enter you in the contest. I'll put all the names in a random name selector, and then I'll pick the winner from that. And as long as you are in the U.S., we'll make sure to send you a t-shirt if you're the winner. I'll be in touch with you after episode 100 and get your information. So no cost, it's free, and you'll have the very one and only MRP Tech Podcast t-shirt, because I'm not going to sell them. This is just a giveaway for the show. And the t-shirts are really nice. They're really well done, and I'm really happy with how it turned out. So make sure to sign up for that. We are getting awful close to that time. Today's show, I have a theme for today's show. We're going to talk about WWDC 2018 and some of my thoughts on that. But before I do that, we have some really exciting shows coming up over the next few weeks. After episode 100, we're doing three recordings in quick succession here. Just due to timing and logistics, I am super excited for episode 101, which I'm going to be recording next week. And I have a developer of a piece of software that I absolutely love to promote and talk about. I am not going to give it away just yet. I'll leave you in suspense for a little bit, but I'm very excited for that episode coming up next week. So we're going to release episode 99, and we're going to release episode 100. So episode 101 will probably be a week or so out, maybe a week and a half out. And just really super excited about the next few shows. We got some great interviews lined up after that. So things are moving along in rapid pace here on the MRP Tech Podcast. And if you remember, if you've been listening for a while, last summer was a really crazy summer for me. I didn't quite have an opportunity to record a lot in the summertime. I still have that summer position. I'm still a supervisor at a major tourist attraction. But it is my goal this summer to keep the weekly recording process, because it is so much fun to do. We'll see how it goes for the summertime. That's my goal. I just want to keep recording. This is one of my favorite things to do. So that's my goal for this summer. You know, the summertime, everybody gets busy, and I'm gonna try my best to keep recording through the summer. And even if I miss a week or two here or there, back in September, we'll get back to that weekly recording timeline as the summer comes to the end. So. Anyway, that's kind of giving you an idea of the next couple of months for the podcast. Okay, so on my way to work this past week, I listened and watched the WWDC 2018 keynote address, and I just want to give you some of my thoughts on what I think about all that was announced during that show. And, you know, every time I do this, I think every other major podcaster out there is giving away, you know, their thoughts on Apple. Apple's huge. I don't talk a lot about Apple in this show, and I do want to talk more about it from time to time. I do use Apple products. I have a Mac. I have an iPhone and an iPad. there are things that I really love about Apple. There are things I don't like about Apple. Just like with anything else, you know, when it comes to Android devices, I'm the same way. There are things I like about Android and there are things I don't like about Android. And it's not up to me to persuade you to, you know, the big iOS versus Android debate or anything like that. And I'll leave you to your opinions. I just want to give you some thoughts on what they announced and what does that mean for someone like me. So one of the things that were announced was iOS 12. And iOS 12 was designed to make your iPhone and iPad experience faster, more responsive, and just overall adding polish to what is already out there in our hands today. One of the things that Apple announced is that performance will be much better in iOS 12. Whether you're using your iPhone or iPad, that iOS has been enhanced. And the things that you do all the time, like launching your camera, typing on your keyboard, that's going to happen faster. And there are a lot of significant improvements that are happening all around on iOS devices. And the cool thing that I really liked about it is that they're supporting devices all the way back to iPhone 5S, which is probably going back to 2013. So that's pretty impressive that they're keeping this the same compatibility with iOS 12 as they did with iOS 11, going, like I said, back to 5S. That's going quite a ways back. And that's one of the things that I've criticized Apple for in the past, was sort of that mandatory upgrade of your device that needs to happen every so often. So good on them for really keeping those older devices up and running. And I really think that this has to do with the issue of the battery life sort of drama they've had over the last few years. And I think that what they're trying to do is increase that performance on those devices. And so performance was a key factor in this release of iOS 12. And they're trying to make changes to sort of cover up that little messy few months that they had with that. So I'm looking forward. I have an iPhone 6S that I use, and just recently I've started having those battery issues that everyone seems to be mentioning. So I'm wondering if iOS 12 might alleviate some of that, or if I just wonder if my battery is going altogether. I will definitely find out, you know, in the fall when iOS 12 is released. So I'm looking forward to giving it a try. The next cool thing that I really liked was the new version of FaceTime. Now, I've just recently gotten into using Google Hangouts a lot. And one of the things that I really like about Google Hangouts, especially with Hangouts, it's not called Hangouts on Air anymore, but when you're live streaming on YouTube, is the little mixer that is offered for content creators in Hangouts. And so I've used FaceTime before, not a whole lot, but one of the cool things that they just announced was now you can FaceTime up to 32 people at once. And that's pretty impressive. Why would you do 32 people at once? One of the things that comes to mind is online courses for colleges or that type of thing, where you have a whole class all together that can communicate all together. And what's really awesome about that is using, if you already have a group in messages, like if you're going to use a text message group, all you have to do is hit a button and then all of a sudden you're FaceTiming everybody in that group. I think they did this really nice. It looks really super polished. And just like Hangouts, when somebody talks, their video and audio takes priority over everybody else's. I would be very curious how that works with 32 people, but I'm really excited that you have that option now in FaceTime. Is it something that I'm going to use every day? Probably not. I just have a workflow that I really like at this point. And who knows, maybe in the future, that might change. There was some, let me just take a step back. I've always said that Apple is one of the best at putting on a show. They have mastered it since Steve Jobs first came on the stage back in 1985. And they know how to put on a show. They know how to capture people's attention. They know how to add the fluff that many of the developers want to hear in these presentations at the developer conference. And they know how to keep your attention. With some of the really great innovations that I saw in this presentation, there was also some sort of fluff that I don't think was really necessary to make a big presentation about. I think it's really cool maybe for kids when they start talking about the Animojis and how not only now will it track what you're saying and what you're doing, these Animoji will basically mimic anything that your face is doing as you're talking. It's kind of a fun thing, but they made a really big deal out about it, and they introduced 4 new Animoji, the koala, the tiger, the ghost, and the T-Rex, all at once. And they actually did it twice in the presentation, which I thought was kind of strange. But I guess it's fun for kids or anybody who's really into that stuff. I'm more into what's actually going to get me work done and what's going to make me more productive. Yeah, they're fun. I didn't really pay all that much attention during that part of the presentation. Same thing goes for all the camera effects. But what really caught my eye was the augmented reality. When they talked about the AR Kit 2, basically it's making it possible for developers to really create immersive augmented reality experiences. And not only just for one person, but multiple people on multiple devices can use this same augmented reality environment. And they talked about a new iOS app called Measure that measures real world objects just by pointing and pointing your camera at them. It was kind of a cool few minutes where they set up, they had developed, I don't know if it was a CTO from Lego come and they had a Lego castle built, and then they built a whole environment around it live in front of the audience. It was kind of fascinating to see where the technology is at, just from an iPad or an iPhone. When I look at AR things, I think that there's a lot of really neat things that can come from augmented reality, much more than say virtual reality. So I'm really looking forward to what comes over the next few months out of AR and AR Kit. Only time will tell how well it's going to work. But there are many other things that they have made improvements on. Now you can be more aware of how much time you're on your devices. One of the things that they talked about was a new app or a new feature called Screen Time that helps you have a better understanding of what you're doing on your device and how long you've been using your device and what you use it for. I found this really interesting because just prior to that, Apple was talking about how they respect users' privacies, they respect your data. And then they come out with this Screen Time app that tells you exactly what you're doing on your phone at all times. And they promoted it as a way to, this is a way for you to keep track of what you're doing. And many times, we get in the habits of checking Facebook or checking our email 100 times a day or something like that. And it really can help you learn, that you may not need to do that as often. But all that data is still there. And that sort of concerned me a little bit. Is it just locally or is this data being shared somewhere else? And I'm not sure the answer on that, but we'll see as time goes on. Maybe I'll do a little bit more research and diving deep into that. Other things, notifications seem to be managed a whole lot better in iOS 12. You have more features of Do Not Disturb, so that you don't have to see messages in the middle of the night if you don't want to. And things like sharing photos, just seem overall improvements all the way over and around in iOS 12. They also announced Mac OS Mojave, which just like iOS aim to bring new features that are inspired by you know, the power users, but designed for everybody. One of the key features in this was dark mode. And for the first time ever on the Mac, you have a dramatic new look that helps you focus on your work. And the dark mode looked very nice. It's something that I've wanted for a really long time. My eyes just do not handle white backgrounds very well. And so this dark mode is something that I think would help me. And it's a system-wide improvement. And the first thing that I thought of when I saw this dark mode was GNOME, the GNOME desktop in Linux. So this isn't something that's new or really innovative, but it is something that has been requested and asked for in Mac for years. Along with dark mode, again, just like iOS, there were some sort of overall general improvements, like the background images and things like that, transitioning throughout the day from a daytime background to a night background. Again, maybe a little bit of fluff that really didn't need to be brought up in the presentation. But one of the cool things that I did see them talk about is the desktop stacks. Now, many people out there, they keep all of their files on their desktop, you know, images and anything that they've been working on, and your desktop gets really cluttered. And I personally can't stand that. I don't like to have things on my desktop for very long. I use it only as I'm getting my work done, and then I clean my desktop off. But a lot of people do leave everything on their desktop, and it's unorganized, and they don't know how to find anything. But these desktop stacks basically is a way to clean up a cluttered desktop by automatically organizing your files into related sets. The groups of by kind, you can see your images, documents, spreadsheets, PDFs, and they sort themselves out. You can arrange by date, and you can tag the files. You can have metadata on them, client names, any way you can think of. You can organize these, and they all stack up nice and neat. And when you click on it, just like the stacks in the dock, you can see all of your files and open what you need. Just another way to sort of organize things. I thought that was a really neat improvement, let's say. They also improved the Finder. They have some new ways to browse through your files, which one of the things that they talked about was this new gallery view, which you can scroll through big previews of your files. I thought they had something like this, and it was called Preview before, but apparently this is a little bit different, so it makes it a little easier, and there's quick actions that you can set to make edits. You can do rotate images, password protect, just little things they add here and there, you know, like adding complete metadata to your images and files. Another thing that you can do is you can work on a file without really opening it. I'm not sure why you'd want to do that. If you're trying to do something really quickly, I guess, you don't really even need to open the file, all using markup, which is great. You could also do things in markup, like take a screenshot. You can also record desktop video from this screenshot snapping, which I thought was kind of cool. The other things that were talked about is that now there's going to be some iOS apps that are available on a Mac. They sort of set this up in a strange way, and it was a little off mark for me. I'm not really sure why. They started saying this, you know, for years people have been wanting to converge iOS and Mac to one device, and they said, are we going to do that? And then, no, we're not going to do that. The next thing that they said after that is, we're going to take iOS apps and put them on macOS. Isn't that sort of kind of the same thing? You're taking iOS apps, now they're going to be available on Mac. Not saying that's a bad thing. I think that's a really good thing in most cases. So right now they have a very limited amount of Apple apps that are going to, iOS apps that are going to be available on macOS Mojave. And really what they're doing is sort of making it easier to switch back and forth from your devices, which I think is a really great thing. And they're going to open that up to developers. They're going to let them work on their apps. And then in the future, these apps will be able to be opened and used in macOS. I think that's a really cool improvement on what is already there. Like if you take a picture on your iPhone, it will automatically go onto your Mac. That's awesome. If you want to set that up that way, AirPlay, AirDrop, is something that drives me nuts sometimes. It works awesome, but I don't like having my info out there in public for everybody to see, so I always turn AirDrop off on my phone and then my computer. And then when I need to, I have to turn it back on. Maybe this new feature of doing that, you know, will be an improvement from that. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. There's other improvements out there, like Watch OS 5. I don't have an Apple Watch, but there seem to be a lot of innovations on workout innovations. There's also a new walkie-talkie feature where you can invite people to basically communicate with you using a walkie-talkie type app just from your Apple Watch. It's kind of a fun thing. You know, you think about like the old days, the secret agents, you know, secret spies with their communications watches, you know, that sort of brings me back to that. I thought that was kind of a cool little thing. Although, you know, being an amateur radio operator, the idea was, I've got radios over here that are much better, you know. Just overall improvements to the Apple Watch. The same thing goes for Apple TV. I'm not really a big Apple TV person. I'm not sold on 4K TV either. So it really, you know, I know the images are much more crisp, but I can't afford it at this point. So I don't have, you know, a 4K Apple TV. I did enjoy the talk about the Dolby Atmos and the 360 sound. Basically, a Apple TV with Dolby Atmos is a compatible sound system. You're fully immersed in a three-dimensional audio that sends surround audio around you, and you don't necessarily need all the speakers around you like you had in the past. You can do this with a sound bar and an Apple TV, and then you're in pretty good shape. So that was a cool addition. And, you know, one of the things that are already available with this Dolby Atmos and the 4K HDR, they have a lot of videos and movies out that are already capable of this. Ready Player One, Paddington 2, Mudbound, Blade Runner 2045, Lost in Space, Justice League, Batman, Jumanji. The list goes on and on. So they are making these new newer movies that are capable of this, and including sports as well. So that's pretty cool. And there's just all around polish and improvements in every Apple operating system, like tvOS and watchOS. And one of the things that, if you notice as you're watching this, and if you're an Apple fan, you probably have already guessed this too, they're slowly creeping away from that I name from the Steve Jobs era, whether it's, you know, the iMacs or the iPad, iPhone. They're really pushing like Apple Music now instead of iTunes. They've gotten rid of iPhoto and it's now just called Photos. And if you watch carefully over the next few years, I think, and this is just a prediction, that we're going to see, you know, we have the Apple Watch, we have Apple TV. I'm going to predict that over the next few years, eventually it becomes the Apple phone and the Apple pad, maybe different names other than that, but they're going to creep away from that iPhone, iPad name. Just a prediction, because they're really going for that Apple brand, and that I name, I think, was really related back to the Steve Jobs era. And speaking of Apple, I wasn't going to bring this up into the show, but I want to talk about an audiobook that I just read. The name of the audiobook is called I Was, How I Invented the Personal Computer and Had Fun Along the Way. This was published back in 2006, and it was on my Audible wish list for a really long time. I wasn't sure if I was going to like this book. It's a book written by Steve Wozniak and Gina Smith, and it's narrated by Patrick Lauer. And as soon as I started reading this, I was absolutely fascinated. I was blown away by all the contents in this book. I read the Steve Jobs bio, and I liked it. It was really good, and it was really an honest book of Steve Jobs. It portrayed his lifestyle, the way he treated people, the way people treated him. This is the exact same thing, but with Steve Wozniak, who in my mind is the real creator, the original Apple One creator. And I would highly recommend this book if you are an Apple fan. This really gets into the philosophy of Apple and how Steve Wozniak, open sourced the Apple One because he wanted people just to go and build them. And Steve Jobs convinced him to sell these and make money. And that eventually created Apple. And if you want to kind of have the origin story for Apple, that's one part of the story. And I'm so glad I listened to that book with using Audible. I didn't want to stop listening. It's only 9 hours long. It's not all that long of an audio book. And it was really great from start to finish. So I can't recommend that any higher. Okay, we are going to wrap up here, episode 99. I hope you enjoyed my thoughts on the Apple WWDC 2018, Worldwide Developers Conference. In the future, maybe I will review some of these products, iOS 12, macOS Mojave, and tell you what I think of them once they come out. They're all slated to be released in the fall, like always. And then in the fall, they announce their new devices. So maybe we'll see an Apple phone instead of an iPhone. Who knows? Okay, guys, that's going to do it for this week. Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next time.